Amen. So keep your place there in Nehemiah chapter number 5. We're going to look at this story in Nehemiah, starting before I even tell you what the sermon's about this morning. Let's just kind of think of the context of what's happening here in Nehemiah 5. So Nehemiah, of course, is going back to Judah. They're in captivity, or after the captivity of the Persian king. The Babylonians take Judah into captivity for 70 years, then the Persians take over the Babylonians, and then Nehemiah is allowed to go back to Jerusalem after this and rebuild the wall, all right? So, of course, Zerubbabel's rebuilding the temple, and Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall, and he goes back and he sees that the people are not in a great state here. Look down at verse number 1, where it says, "And there was a great cry of the people and their wives against their brethren, the Jews." So that's interesting right there. It's like not only are they in a bad place, but they're kind of in a bad place, and they're crying against their own people, which is going to be relevant here. It says, "Therefore, for there were that said, 'We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live.'" So they're basically saying they're in hard times here, and they're saying we have a lot of mouths to feed. "And some also there were that said, 'We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth.'" So it's saying that they had to go and mortgage their land. So it's not that they sold their land, it's that they had to mortgage their land. So mortgaging their land is where you own something and then you go and you take out a loan against that thing that you own. So essentially you don't really own it anymore. But then there was also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute." So this is really bad, right? Imagine this for a minute. They have to imagine, you know, someone being in that type of position where you have to take out a loan to buy food, and then they also have to take out a loan to pay their taxes, all right? The king's tribute, that's taxes. So things aren't going well here, but I want you to notice that they're angry at their own brethren, all right? Look down at verse number 5. "Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither it is in our power to redeem them, for other men have had our lands and vineyards." So this, again, is a bondage that is brought about by debt, all right? And you're like, well, that's a terrible society. Well, we'll get there in just a minute. Verse number 6, and some of you already know where I'm going with this. Verse number 6, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles, the rulers, and said unto them, 'Ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and set a great, and I set a great assembly against them.'" So Nehemiah also rebukes the brethren because they're doing this thing. All right, they're exacting usury, every one of his brother. "And I said unto them, 'We, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen.'" He's saying, we've redeemed ourselves out of bondage from the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, verse number 9, "It is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury." So he is rebuking them, and he's showing he's kind of giving the answer here in Nehemiah chapter number 5 on why they were upset at the beginning of the chapter with their brethren, and it was this thing called usury. And that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. I'm going to preach about usury. I don't think I've ever actually done a complete, just single topic sermon on usury, but it is incredibly relevant in our society today, so I'm wondering why I've never really done that. As a matter of fact, you know, everybody keeps talking today about an affordability crisis and how things are just more expensive today, and I'm here to tell you that usury is a big part of that crisis. I believe that crisis is real, and there's a direct tie to usury. So again, let's look at this thing from the Bible and see if the Bible can give us some advantage this evening. All right, so the first thing is, what is usury? Now, this is interesting, and I learned something new myself here, and I've known this for a while, like with the English language, especially with Gen Z. The English language is changing. Did you know that? The English language is changing, but even the definition of something like usury is changing, because I was surprised to see, I thought I knew what usury was, but when I looked up modern definitions of usury, here's what you get, all right? So usury, in a modern dictionary, is defined as this: the illegal action or practice of lending money at unreasonably high rates of interest. That sounds like it was written by a banker. But that's not what the Bible says about usury. And it even says, the archaic version in this dictionary.com says, interest at unreasonably high rates. Now, if you go to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, it still has at least one option for usury of any interest on a loan, right? And that is the Bible definition of usury. So what we're talking about here and what was happening in Nehemiah chapter number 5 is people were in financial straits. They were in financial difficulties. They were having a hard time literally feeding their families, and they were having to mortgage things that they owned, sell things that they owned, and here they were having to borrow money from their brethren, and they were being charged usury. All right, so that's what I want to look at. Let's look at what the Bible says this evening about usury. So clearly, we see that Nehemiah was not happy with usury. So let's look at both sides of it this evening. Let's look at both sides of it, because you can either charge usury or you can be paying usury. And I want to look at both sides of that from the Bible this evening. The Bible has plenty to say on both sides of that issue. And then I'll just give you some practical advice on, you know, how to handle and how to apply what the Bible is saying here to your life in America today. All right, so let's get into it. So first of all, there's two sides of it. There's paying usury and there's charging usury. To pay it, is it bad to pay it? We'll talk about that in practical application at the end, but let's first look at, is it bad to charge it? Why was Nehemiah so upset? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 23. The reason Nehemiah was so upset is because literally the Bible has a lot to say about this in the law, and the people simply should have known better. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 23. We're going to look at charging usury first this evening. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 23, and Deuteronomy 23 kind of details the overall rule for usury. We're talking about charging interest on a loan. We're talking about, you know, I'm going to borrow Brother Warren, you know, $50, and he's going to pay me back in 6 months, but he's going to pay me back, you know, $350. You want to take that deal, brother? All right? But that's what we're talking about today. Or, you know, $51 or $55 or whatever it is, okay? Look at Deuteronomy 23 and look at verse number 19. The Bible says that usury is not to be charged to a brother, to another, you know, in our case, a fellow Christian. All right, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Look at verse number 20. So it's saying, not to a brother. So it's saying, even not just money, but things. Like, you can't say, I'm going to lend you, you know, 3 bowling balls for, you know, a week, and then you're going to pay me back 4 bowling balls. Like, anything. You can't do anything like that for a gain of anything. To a brother. All right, but now look at verse number 20. The Bible says, verse 20, it says, unto a stranger that thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. Now, by stranger here, we don't mean someone you don't know or someone you just met. We're talking about, you know, someone outside the nation here. We're talking about, and if we just apply it to us, it would be like a non-Christian, a non-believer. It says that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Right? Turn to Leviticus chapter number 25. So here we see that, you know, the rule is not to a brother. Well, what were they doing in Nehemiah chapter number 5? They were lending usury to their brothers. Right? It was the people that were, it was all Jews, and they were lending to other Jews and taking it, you know, taking advantage of usury to actually make money off of that situation through interest. All right, now look at Leviticus chapter number 25. We see kind of a subset of Deuteronomy 23 here. If you look at Leviticus 25, verse number 35, the Bible says in Leviticus 25:35, it says, If thy brother, and this is an exact application, like Nehemiah 5 is a practical example of what Leviticus 25, 35 is talking about. It says, if thy brother be waxen poor and fall and decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. It says, take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt, verse 37, thou shalt not give him money upon, I mean, again, it says it again and again and again. You think it's important to God? Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. It's like, don't give him, you know, don't give him money and don't give him food and things that he needs, hoping to get something in return. Turn to Exodus 22. Turn to Exodus 22. And what we see here in Leviticus 25, so obviously Deuteronomy chapter number 23 kind of tells us you shouldn't lend usury to a brother. And you say, well, why is it even necessary to say Leviticus 25? Well, Leviticus 25 and many other parts of the Bible, including the example that we see in Nehemiah chapter number 5, is showing kind of the predatory nature of someone that would lend usury, of somebody that would, you know, somebody's in dire straits. These people can't feed their families, and here someone comes in like, oh, I'm going to help you out. It's like, no, you're gaining from that situation, because those people in Nehemiah 5, they would not have mortgaged their lands. They would not have taken out those loans had they not needed to buy food for their families. This is why Nehemiah was so upset. Look at, where to have you go, Exodus 22. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee. And the Bible is just kind of pointing out the conditions that will exist that will tempt people to lend upon usury. It says, thou shalt not lend to be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. So obviously the Bible is saying here, it's not saying don't lend to them. It's saying don't lend to them for hoping for advantage back to yourself. And that's important when we look at things going forward, all right? Turn to Proverbs chapter number 28. So the Bible, obviously the brother in Deuteronomy 23 kind of covers everything, but the Bible is just giving us a lot of detail here, is that usury is taking advantage, at least to a degree, depending on how bad it is. It's simply taking advantage, and you're not to take advantage, especially of a brother that is in trouble, a brother that is poor, a brother that is struggling. And let me tell you something, like you're like, well, we're in America. Look, everybody is going to struggle at some point. So this is important to understand, just this concept, all right? You're like, well, I'm never going to be a usurer, but the concept applies to us all. And that's what I want you to see this evening. You look at Proverbs 28 and verse number 8. Proverbs 28 and verse number 8. Proverbs 28, verse number 8, the Bible says, he that by usury, now notice the category that it kind of puts it in here. It says, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. That's quite a statement right there. So the Bible here is saying, you know, that God cares about the how. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to work hard. God wants you to go out and support your families. 1 Timothy 5:8, you know, get out there and work and support your families, or you're worse than an infidel, the Bible says. But God cares about the how you do that. It needs to be something that the Bible calls just gain. And it lumps usury into this category of unjust gain. So we're talking about the evil bankers tonight, all right? That's what we're talking about. You're like, all right, yeah, the evil bankers. But look, this is a hard thing to swallow in our society today, because our society literally runs on this word. How could you possibly? One of my favorite like historical presidents was Andrew Jackson. I don't know how much you know about Andrew Jackson, but like probably the most famous thing about Andrew Jackson, like he was like the first Democrat, so just forget that part. Andrew Jackson was like a hero of the War of 1812, and he became president in 29, I should have wrote this down, like 29, I think. But he was really against like a central bank taking over, you know, the United States. As a matter of fact, he's really famous for this quote where he vetoed. There was a bank, the Bank of the United States, that was a central bank for the U.S. It was the second bank of the United States. And their charter during Andrew Jackson's, during his presidency, their charter came up to be renewed, and he vetoed that thing. And he was famous for just being like, I killed the bank. And the reason that he hated the bank so much, I mean, just listen to this. The reason that he hated the bank so much, I'll read you a quote. He says, it is regretted that the rich and the powerful too often bend the acts of government to their selfish purposes. Distinctions in society will always exist under every just government. Notice what he said there. He's saying not everybody's going to be exactly at the same place economically in a society. He says, equality of talents, of education, of wealth cannot be produced by human institutions. He's recognizing that everybody's results are going to be different. But he killed the bank because he believed that the bank, it put too much power in the hands of too few. It served only an elite group of interests, and it was unconstitutional. That's what he believed. I mean, I agree with those assessments personally, but he just thought it put too much power in the hands of too little people that had a lot of influence over government. And he went into a lot of detail on how, you know, the farmer doesn't have that same influence. As a matter of fact, they don't have time to have that influence because they're farming, they're working, they're doing productive things for society. So he's basically talking about, you know, he's kind of the original gangster on the evil bankers in our country. It put too much power in the hands of too few people. You say, well, how do they get that power? Well, the way they get that power is they have the power to create money through loans, and then they have the power to exact usury, what the Bible is talking about. I'm not going to get too deep into that, but let's remember what the Bible says now. Obviously, this is not 1836. This is 2026, and there is a bank. There is a central bank that we're all affected by. So we see that the Bible says that we are not to exact usury of our brethren, that it's not a just way to make a living. Now, somebody will inevitably ask me, is it okay to be a bank teller? And that's not really the point. So just keep listening to the sermon. But what I want to talk to you about, turn to Psalm chapter number 37, is I want to talk to you about being a Christian on both sides of the equation of usury. How do I look at usury on both sides of that coin? Paying usury and charging usury. You're like, yes, I can go home and I don't have to pay my car loan. I don't have to pay all this evil usury, these evil bankers. I can quit paying for everything. No, that's not the point. And that's not what the Bible says either. Turn to Psalm 37. So let's look at what the Bible says on the other side of usury, which is paying usury. You say, do I have to pay usury? Look at Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37. And look at verse number 21. Psalm 37, look at verse number 21. Well, it's evil, it's bad, it's unjust gain. But the Bible says this on the other side of paying usury, paying back a loan that has usury attached to it. The Bible says in verse 21 of Psalm 37, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. So notice here in verse number 21 of Psalm 37 that usury isn't really part of the equation here. It's just talking about somebody that borrowed something and didn't pay something back. But it still applies. Basically, if you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, we're talking about kind of going against an oath. And if you went and you signed some note that said you would pay this back for, you know, extra money or that usury or whatever, that is an oath, an obligation that you have. The Bible kind of gives you some advice that we'll talk about in a few minutes against that, and some wisdom that you can follow in your life. But the Bible does say that to borrow and not pay again is a wicked thing. Look at Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 4. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So obviously that's to God, but the same thing applies to our lives. If you vow something, if you make a deal, you make a covenant, you should honor that deal. So you can't just say, oh, I'm against usury, but I signed up for a bunch, and now I'm going to quit paying it. All right? Well, how about this? Now go to Ezekiel chapter number, actually go to Psalm 15. In verse number 5. So paying it, if you've signed, if you've made an oath, if you've done something, or somebody borrowed usury, it's wicked to not pay what you owe. All right, so that's one side of it. But usury itself, as far as charging usury, is something that a Christian really should not be part of, especially when it comes to the brethren. All right, look at Psalm 15 in verse number 5. Here's another verse here. Actually, you go to Ezekiel chapter number 18. The Bible says, you know, that you just should not put out your money to usury. All right, the Bible is saying that's not how God wants you to make a living. But go to Ezekiel chapter number 18 and look at verse number 12. It's more about this idea of exploiting people is what the Bible's getting at here. All right, in verse number 12 of Ezekiel chapter number 18, look what the Bible says. I want you to notice, like, you see the same language in Nehemiah 5. You see the language of bondage and our sons and our daughters, and you know, they're into bondage, right? But there is a definite connection here. It says in verse number 12, it says, look at verse number 11. It says, and doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath oppressed the poor, this bad person, hath oppressed the poor and the needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, and hath committed abomination. I mean, this is a horrible human being right here in verse number 12. But then look at verse number 13. It says, and hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase. Shall he then live? He shall not live. So usury is attached to taking advantage, this horrible abomination that's being done here. It is something that is, you know, the Bible, God is condemning this exploitive gain here with usury, all right? But what do we do in this society today? What do we do in a society today that is basically based on usury? The Bible does not explicitly condemn all commercial interest between people. And the Bible also does not forbid trade, investment, or, you know, even like, you know, return on investment. But it is condemning exploiting people. And that's where usury is coming in. So let me just give you 4 points here, so 4 practical applications that you can use to apply this to your life today. All right, so the first one is this. You know, you shouldn't want to profit from somebody else's hard times. That's the first thing. In any way. If you see somebody in hard times with, whether it be, debt or job loss or anything, just hard emotional times, there should be nothing in the Christian that wants to take advantage or gain from that. It should be a situation where you are trying to help a situation, and, you know, if you're going to borrow somebody, the Bible's not against borrowing somebody money. But you should not do that for gain. And the way to do that, the opposite side of that, is if you borrow somebody money, you just kind of consider it gone. And that would be, like, obviously it would be wicked for someone to borrow money from you and not pay you back, but the best protection for your relationship with a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ is if you borrow something to somebody, because look, things happen. You can borrow stuff to people. Imagine you borrow stuff to somebody and that person is in a hard spot and they don't have money to buy that tool or whatever that is, and then something horrible happens and that tool gets wrecked or it gets stolen or it gets lost or maybe they're irresponsible or whatever, consider it gone when you borrow it to them. If it's something that is so important to you, or it's money that you can't do without, that's got emotional, or you need it for your corn for your family, you should not lend in that case. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. So the first thing is, like, we should never want to profit from somebody else's downside. Look, that's against what the world teaches. Because the people that are out there looking for the loan and looking for, you know, lending solutions are typically people that are not in the best place. And the world is happy to take advantage of that, but the Christian is not supposed to do that. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. Look at what the Bible says here. Point number two here is that you need to be cautious about usury in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 7, it says, the borrower is servant to the lender. Notice here what the Bible is saying, and then notice the language you saw in Ezekiel chapter number 18. Notice the language you saw in Nehemiah chapter number 5. As a matter of fact, go back to Nehemiah chapter number 5. You have to be careful because the Bible here is saying that if you borrow, you become a servant, meaning you become less free. And this is a big one because, you know, in America, and I tell my kids this, I've repeated this to my kids a billion times, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor? You're crazy. No, it doesn't matter how much money you make because you can spend it all. And it's incredibly easy to spend it all. And not only can you spend it all, you can spend more than it all. And many people live their lives that way. And the usurer is there to help you do it. Everywhere you go today, it's buy now, pay later. You can put getting your brakes replaced on buy now, pay later. It doesn't matter how much money you make because if you're not smart and you don't listen to biblical advice here, you can spend every penny, you can spend 2 pennies for every one that you make. And then you're going to be in bondage. You're like, slavery is not legal today. Oh yeah, you go out and you run up a bunch of debt, and then you tell me how free that you feel, because you won't be free. Look at Nehemiah chapter number 5, and this is where the interesting definition gets very interesting, because if you look down at verse number 11, notice how all the definitions that I showed you is like illegal, exorbitant, amounts of interest. That's what usury is. Nehemiah was upset. He was mad. He was furious with these people over what? Look at verse number 11. It says, restore. He's like, you're charging usury. Restore, I pray. Pray you to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, all these things they mortgaged, and their houses. Also the 100th part of the money. You know what that means? You know what he was charging? They were charging 1%, assuming this was a one-year loan, but let's just assume that. They were charging a very low interest rate compared to what we would look at today, 1/100th part. And Nehemiah was upset. The average credit card interest rate in the United States right now is between 20 and 30%. And I always say that you should pay attention to all-time highs in your life, but credit card debt in the United States is at an all-time high. You say, when? Today. Right now. $1.27 trillion in household credit card debt today. Payday loans, where people go and they take out a loan on their coming paycheck. These are people that, let me ask you something, is it somebody that's in a great spot that has to go take a loan? They have to borrow from March to pay February? That's not somebody, those loans, some of them are 200 to 300%. This is my opinion, you don't have to share it, but this type of usury at this level should be illegal, in my opinion. You don't have to share that opinion. The libertarian would say, Pastor Pozarnski, you're crazy. Because if you made that illegal, then people wouldn't lend. Because the risk is why they have to charge the, yeah, well, then don't let them lend. I'm fine with that. Because here's what people would do if that kind of option. It is not a person that's in a great place that's taking out a loan that's 300% interest. And instead of, if it was against the law, and look, it is against the law in some states. Like high usury like that is against the law in some states. There are some states that do have some kind of biblical morality left in them. But even if those loans weren't available, those payday loans, that would be good for those people. Because all that high usury is doing is taking advantage of people in a bad spot. And if those options weren't available, it would force better decisions by people. Or if people followed what the Bible says and the warnings that the Bible is giving, it would force better decisions. People would sell things. People would live cheaper. People would work harder to pay things off. All that high interest, and look, in my opinion, all this unsecured debt, meaning the credit cards and the high interest debt, it should be avoided at all costs in your life. The Bible warns that debt brings servitude. But the Bible doesn't forbid paying usury at all. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 27. Actually, just go back to Proverbs chapter number 22. We'll stay there. Proverbs 22. And go like a few verses over to verse number 26. Proverbs 22. So the Bible, the interesting thing about the Bible is the Bible doesn't forbid paying usury, but it warns against the consequences of it. It warns against, you know, the loss of freedom that will come from it. And it also, you know, it just... You could literally end up in a point where you're paying unpayable usury to the point where you will never get rid of that loan. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't know this, but in the United States, you know, African slavery was, you know, the slavery of the United States in the Western Hemisphere, you know, was you know, focused on Africa. But before the first African slave came to the United States, there was this thing in the United States called indentured servitude. And indentured servitude was basically the enslavement of Europeans in the United States. It was almost identical and the reason is because people took out these loans. I'm getting a ticket to the United States. And it was all poor people that had no other options, of course. I'm getting a ticket to the United States. And they ended up signing a deal with such high usury and such high, they could never pay it back. And then they would just keep renewing the deal, and they were essentially a slave. And that is what the Bible is saying here, is that this kind of debt will drive you into slavery. It reduces liberty. Look at verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 22. It says, "Be not one of them that strike hands, because if thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee?" It's saying you could lose your property. This poor guy is getting his bed repoed because he can't pay. Debt reduces liberty. You say, all right, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just go out and pay cash for everything today? Look, I wouldn't be against that, but that would be very difficult, I agree. And I'm not somebody that's standing up here telling you I've never taken a car loan, that you should never take a mortgage, all these things. All the Bible is saying, you know, the interesting thing about the bank is that the bank exists. It's the only business that's like this. The bank exists, therefore the bank must exist. Rattle that one through. I mean, that's a pretty good business right there. That because the bank exists, the bank has to exist. Because they create money, they create inflation, you need them, is what it comes down to. It's a great business for them. But the Bible is saying, be careful. Avoid high usury. So let me give you some practical debt tips here, according to this biblical concept that we have. I'm going to give you some, especially you young people, I'm going to give you some categories of debt. I'm going to give you three categories of debt, from best debt to worst debt. Because I've taken a car loan. I've even let my kids take a car loan. you know, it should be, you know, a short car loan. And, you know, I've allowed that and I've done it myself. It's better to pay cash for a car, but I'm not going to be a hypocrite up here. Here's the best to worst debt. And the third one especially should be avoided at all costs. But the first debt is debt for an asset. And because the bank exists, assets are going to get more and more expensive in, you know, this currency that we have. But, you know, people will say that it hedges against inflation. That's true. You say, what's an asset? Well, you know, gold, silver, hard assets, you know, cows, you know, basically anything, land, houses can be an asset as long as you take care of them, as long as you maintain them. Houses, especially in California, are an asset. But basically, debt for an asset is the least dangerous kind of debt, because if you ever get in trouble and can't pay the debt, you can sell the asset and get out of the debt immediately in ideal conditions. Obviously, there's still risk there that the debt or the asset could decline in value. The second, you know, the next best, which is, or next worst, however you want to look at it, we're going from best to worst, is debt for a liability. A liability is like a car. Something that, as you own it, it gets less and less valuable every year. Now, all the kids who are under 30 right now are going to be looking at me, and they're like, Pastor, you're crazy, because I bought my car 5 years ago, and it's worth more today than it was 5 years ago. First of all, that is the first time that this has happened in 40 years, I think. And the reason is because it's not because that car is getting more valuable. It's simply because the dollar is losing value faster than your car is losing value. So a car is a liability, meaning your car is worth less tomorrow than it is today. So that's that's not great debt to be in car debt. And the third one and the most dangerous is unsecured debt, meaning where you have debt, you have nothing to show for it, you already ate all the Cheetos. You spent all the money on Cheetos and you ate the Cheetos and you got the debt and there's nothing left. Another part, you know, another possible unsecured debt is student loan debt. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a degree that still have the debt from a degree they tried to get, or they went to school for 2 or 3 years to get a 4-year degree and then they stopped, or a degree that they're not using. That's unsecured debt. That should be avoided at all cost, because that is the kind of debt, like, I know people that are in unsecured debt that it will take them 20 years to pay off the unsecured debt. It's incredibly dangerous, and it's incredibly easy to do. So that should be avoided. All right, but look, there's a bigger spiritual principle here, so let's look at that. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Usury is about this issue. The Bible is saying, obviously, Christians should not exact usury from other Christians, but the point is, we should view people as souls and not revenue streams. This is what the Bible is teaching us. There's a reason that the Bible talks about just gain. There's a reason where you go to work, you're building things, or you're doing some service that society needs, and look, this happens, and this will happen to you no matter what you do, but if you have just gain, if you're going out and you're doing some service for your community, you're building something, you're doing something, you can even go to someone's home and finish a project that you're working on, and you fix a problem for someone you didn't even know, and it just kind of gets you inside. You just kind of feel good about it. And the reason is because it's just gain, and that's kind of, it's kind of hitting your conscience there. And that's what God wrote in your heart. I mean, this is the sign in the guy's truck that says, dirty hands, clean money. This is what he's talking about. It's called your conscience. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Look, the rules against usury are about a larger doctrine of caring for people. And the main principle is this. It's about wanting to care and take care of people, to have charity towards people that are less fortunate than you. And look at Luke chapter number 6. Jesus, as usual, takes it a step further. Right? He doesn't negate the law. He always is just like over the top with the law. Right? He's like, no, the law even applies to your heart. Be generous. Don't take advantage. But look at how far Jesus takes it here in Luke 6, and look at verse number 35. Luke 6 and verse number 35. Jesus says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, I mean, and lend. Doesn't that seem a little like, if you just read that like the first time, it seems like that kind of sticks out a little bit? He's like, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Notice, and here's what you may notice in your life. If you are generous and you do help people, you may notice that the people that you help the most don't necessarily treat you the best. And if you're a generous person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But this is an important verse for you this evening, generous person, because notice how Jesus says, I mean, why would he even say enemies there? He's saying do good and lend. And he's acknowledging the fact that people may not treat you as good as you treat them, but he's saying still be generous. That's what God wants. Look, if you go out and you lend somebody that is in a hard place or a hard time, you lend them something or you help them out or you just give them something and you're generous to them, and then they come back and they're not good to you and they're not thankful, as it says, they're unthankful to you for what you did, you know what you shouldn't do? You shouldn't be like, unthankful, I'm never going to be generous to anyone again. No, the Bible's saying it's still a good thing to do. We're serving God, not some person. I'm doing what I do in my life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I should have the heart that he wants me to have regardless. Because if I'm looking for some kind of praise, or I'm looking for some kind of reaction, if I'm looking for, I go and I lend somebody something, and I expect them to go tell 10 people how great I am, it kind of seems like I'm looking for something in return, doesn't it? That's a form of usury, in a sense. See, it's the larger doctrine of being generous for Christ. Not, look, everybody's going to let you down. I will let you down at some point. I mean, hopefully, not all the time. But I mean, everybody is going to let you down. And if you expect all this from people, you're always going to be, expect nothing in return. Give it to them and just give it to them and just be generous. And like, hey, then they didn't do the right thing and whatever. And then somebody else needs help and you can help. God will reward it. God will take care of it. God still rewards it. Meaning he just wants, he wants more of that generous behavior down here from us. And usury is just one small example of this larger doctrine. But look, especially for you kids starting out in life, you need to be careful for usurers. Because we live in a society of usury. And people will let you take out loans and they will charge you usury and you can have all this nice shiny stuff and you can have it all today. But you will become a slave to that nice shiny stuff. And you will look at all that nice shiny stuff and you will be looking at that, you know, that couch that you have and all these things that you are paying usury on, and you will not be able to sleep at night, the Bible says, because of that nice shiny stuff. So the two takeaways are, be a generous person, regardless of how you're treated in return, and stay a generous person. But be careful for people that take advantage, because there is no shortage of people that will take advantage of you in this world. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this lesson in the Bible. I thank you for just warning us about how this world is going to be. Please help us to keep hearts, no matter how we are treated, no matter how we see the world around us, just to keep these generous hearts, Lord. If we can help people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, help us to have the heart to help people. And I pray that you just help us to ourselves and to raise our children to be aware of all of the people that are exactly the opposite of that in this world that will just completely take advantage of just about anybody out there that they can take advantage of. Help us to have the opposite heart of that. Thank you for the warnings and thank you for the direction. and the practical advice in the Bible. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.